Ireland's classic hits, and Owen McGee is here from How to Be Good with Money. And last week he was on the show talking about the tax that is due on your temporary wage subsidy scheme or your PUP scheme. So I've got a question for you, Owen. How can we be sure that they're calculating it correctly?
You can go to, there's companies out there that do this, that will look at your tax return. This is a really important point, right? They will look at a tax return. PAYE workers don't usually do a tax return. If they did, the average tax refund they would get would be €1,000. That's the average. You can put medical expenses and you can put other things through. Like this year, you can put light and heat if you were working from home. You can even put broadband through now. Okay. And the thing about it is if you owe the tax man, let's say it's €1,000, if the average refund is €1,000, now you owe the tax man nothing. Now, if you owe the tax man nothing and you put your expenses through and you get an average refund of €1,000, all of a sudden you're up €1,000 and the tax man's posting you a check for €1,000 or lodging it into your bank account. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is if ever there was a year to do a tax return, it's this year. If you're happy and comfortable to do it yourself, you can do it yourself. If you're not, go find a company. There's lots of them out there. I'm not going to plug anyone, Trina. Yeah. There's lots of companies out there that are advertising very heavily at the moment to say, do your tax return with us. The other thing that people, if you have a little bit of savings and you're looking at it and you're going, this is a really clever time to put money into pension. If you're on the higher rate of tax and you put €1,000 into pension today and do your tax return tomorrow, you can put that €1,000 against last year's earning and your tax bill is going to go down by €400.
Oh, so it'll
cost you €600. Yeah, it costs you €600 to put €1,000 into your pension. So PAYE workers, self-employed, are a bit more on top of this. They have to do their tax return every year. They typically have an accountant. The accountant's job is to pick up this stuff, or the tax advisor's job is to pick up on this stuff and make sure it goes through. Whereas PAYE workers just don't realise what's available to them. Mm. And not only that, if you do it, you can go back over 4 years. Like, Trina, I don't know. Like, one of the ones that people often don't realise is the medical expense. Particularly if you have anything medical going on, and even like medical good or medical bad. Like medical good, you had a baby in the last few years. Is there fees and bills and stuff that you have never claimed back? Yeah. Like, what stuff are you going without that you should be claiming back? You're about to, you may owe the tax man some money now. Why don't you find out ways of getting the tax man to owe you money?
Yeah.
And write one off against the other.
Like when you go to the chemist and they give you that receipt in the paper bag, you know, the one that there's kind of like a two copies of
the
it.
Blue one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that you need, isn't it, for claiming tax back on, like a normal receipt for your Panadol or that kind of thing. You're not going to get any money on that. But if it's actual prescription medicine, you'll get money back.
Yeah. You get the money back. Also, you can go to the GP, you can get the money back. Dentist, you get money back as well. It's a different form. It's a little bit more box ticking exercise. You do a bit more to get it through, but dentist's allowance is there. Optician's allowance is there.
Yeah.
Work expenses, there's allowances there.
For uniforms and things, isn't there? It's called a flat rate expense.
It depends. Uniforms is a funny one. So uniforms is typically, like there was a court case years ago where a barrister, I think, tried to claim for their wig. I think that this is always the case that you talk about. They tried to claim for their wig and they said, I can't wear this to the pub on a Friday night, so it's only useful to me at work. But they lost their case. So there is an issue around uniforms. But how that issue is resolved is most people who are in a union. So, for example, nurses can claim back a fixed rate allowance against their uniform. The allowance changes, and it kind of, off the top of my head, Trina, it's like €300 if your uniform is provided to you and you have to clean it, or €700 if you have to buy your own uniform and clean it. So there is different industries. It's generally organized as a group. So nurses as a whole, this is the flat rate allowance. Doctors or whatever the category of industry that you're in. Journalists get it as well. They have money towards as a fixed rate. Yep. That you can allow yourself against for expenses. That's because you're supposed to be really well presented every time you're in public, Trina.
Oh, is that right? Thank God I'm on the radio, Owen. You should see me right now. So come here to me. I'm very interested in this electricity and gas and internet. You can claim back for that this year, and the only year you've been able to do it.
But it's not actually the only year you can be able to do it. It's just if you're working from home for the first time. So when you're working from home, there's two things you can do. Your boss can give you €3.20 every day that you worked at home tax-free. That's one thing that they can do, but they don't have to do that. And just be very clear, the boss does not have to do that. If your boss decides not to do that, well, then your other option is to take out your electricity bill. The electricity and gas bill or heating bill has to be in your name, but you take it out and you look at it and you can put through, like, generally you can put through 10% of this, whatever the bill is for the year. Provided you were at home for the year, working for the year, or three quarters of the year, but then three quarters of the bills or whatever it is, 10% of them, you put them through and there won't be questions. Generally, there won't be questions asked by revenue when someone's putting through 10%. Mm-hmm. Now, you can put through more than that if you want. So say you said, well, hold on a second. I live in, I don't know, I live, I'm going to give you a ridiculous example, but I live in a one-bedroom studio and the desk and everything takes up half of the space and I never touch that desk when I'm not working. Therefore, you might say, well, I or takes 25% of the room, I put 25% of the bill through. My point here is that if you have unusual circumstances and you believe you can absolutely justify putting through more than 10%, go knock your socks off, go for it. Put through more than 10%, but just be prepared to actually justify it to revenue when they come asking questions. You're more likely to be asked questions when you go over 10%.
What happens, Owen, in a case where maybe the husband works and the wife is at home but the bill is in her name? You can't claim, can you not?
No, it needs to be in your name. Okay. Now, there is a committee, in the budget this year they announced that there's a cross-party committee or cross-departmental committee has been set up that is looking at all of this, because it is a bit unfair that, you know, like, even if you think about it, if you're renting, if three people are renting a house together, and the bill is only in one person's name, the other two people can't claim that the allowance is back. So, yeah. And what I would say is that some people say to me, oh, well, we've got the bill in both names, because I claim it and my wife can claim it too. Yeah, you know what? You probably can, but you stop messing. Like, you're just messing here now. Like, you can't both claim the same expense. And let's just be fair. And if you start messing around like that, you quite rightly are bringing scrutiny on yourself. And honestly, you deserve it. Sorry, but just don't mess around. This is tax at the end of the day. It's paying for the hospitals and the frontline workers that are saving our lives right now. Let's not play with it.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing to get
another argument to say they're not being paid enough, but I'm not going to go there. But you know what my point is?
Yeah. Well, the poor student nurses, God love them. There's no real rush to pay this back. And you're not actually paying money out. It's done in your tax credits. So you don't necessarily have to actually pay out any money. It'll just reduce your tax credit. Do you understand what I mean?
You'd be like a credit card marketing department dream. Yeah. I thought really your money is just on your credit card.
This is why I get the experts
on. If you pay more tax, your net pay is going to go down. It's your money. Believe me, it's yours.
Owen, do you want to plug your telly show?
Plug my telly show. I'm going to plug two things, actually.
How your book as well. Here we go.
Yeah, my book as well. Yeah. How to Be Good About Money, the TV show, is on your screens 8:30 Thursday evenings. We're going up to episode 4. We just finished episode 3 2 days ago, last Thursday. So we're coming up on episode 4. We're coming up to the halfway point. It is going exceptionally well. Lots of people enjoying it. Lots of people watching it. Lots of people interacting with me on Instagram afterwards. And the book as well, also called How to Be Good With Money. Guess what happened, Trina?
What?
The book launched last March and we went into lockdown. I'd no book launch. I'd no nothing. And it has sold incredibly well. Best-selling personal finance book in Ireland by a country mile in 2020. And since the new year, it's been hitting top of the charts again. Number 2 in the charts last week. And it's just, there's a renewed interest in it. Lots of people are buying it. Yeah. So How to Be Good at Money is everybody's guide to how to be good at money.
Oh, and would you ever get someone on the TV show that is absolutely broke? Because I think a couple of the people who've been on, they haven't been in dire straits. So you need to get somebody on who basically...
We have had people in absolute dire straits. Like, I remember, and I don't know why these come into my head, but it was series one. We had one couple who were like kind of minus 32 grand. And we've had a couple of couples who have like minus X amount of loans and they're really struggling. They really want to buy a house and they can't buy a house and really struggle and we try and turn them around. So we've had, like, we do have a really broad range of people on the show. I think that's why people like us, because you resonate with some people and then other people you don't resonate with them, but you learn an awful lot from what they're doing, or wrong.
Is it hard to get people, actually, because, I mean, they're telling the whole world their business when it comes to their finances and people can be very private about that?
It's not actually. Like, we will get a couple of hundred, I think last year we probably got 200 or 300 people applying for eight slots. Mm. And it is, look, you are bearing all, but what you do find is that generally the people who get involved do realise very quickly that this is their best opportunity to sort their finances out once and for all. Like, I, not just me, but the entire team throw everything at this and all the resources and all the hours. And it's very much a team approach, but everything gets thrown at us. And sometimes in my private practice, I have people who I would love to be able to get on the show because it's not actually viable for me to take them on in private practice because the time that would be required. But if you go on that show and you manage to get on that show, I believe it's worth bearing all about your finances because it's going to change. This sounds very, I don't know, but it's going to change your life. Mm. Actually going to change your life. And that is something people are willing to sacrifice in terms of disclosing to their finances to everybody.
Can I just ask you a really quick question before you go on? And it was about an episode that was on, I think, about just over a week ago. And it was the lady who had the dog business, dog kennels, yes, and the dog walking. And you were talking to her about her pension and about whether she'd made enough contributions into her pension. So, and, yes, and we're talking about the state pension here. That is something that really alarmed me. I didn't know. Do you have to have a certain number of contributions before you're entitled to get the state pension?
Yeah. So what happens is if you have full contributions, you get a full state pension. Then if you fall short of full contributions, then it drops off. Now, it doesn't drop off that dramatically. Like you drop off by kind of 25 quid a week less is what you drop down by. And what people don't realise is you can log on to the social welfare website and you can download, or sorry, they'll send it out to you, a contribution statement. Just Google that, social welfare contribution statement, and it'll send you out what it is that you have paid in contributions. It's a very good exercise to do, because mm-hmm. when you do it, sometimes you can find errors in it, particularly when you have a very long period of time that you've been making PRSI contributions for, and you can go back and try and fix them now instead of trying to do it just before you retire. So yeah, what people don't realise is your old age pension is based on, it's an insurance, it's a pension contribution, pay-related social insurance, PRSI. You pay money into PRSI and you get sick, they pay you. You die, they pay something to your spouse. And when you retire, they pay you. But you have to have paid in enough in to get it all out. But it's not an off-the-cliff situation that if you don't pay enough in that you get nothing. And if you don't have any contributions or you're not entitled to a contributory old age pension and you don't have means when you're older, you will get a non-contributory pension, which is means tested. So they'll check and see, are you able to survive? Are you on the breadline, or where are you? Mm-hmm. If you are really struggling financially, you can get one without any pension contributions at all. But it's harder to get that because there is a means test to it.
Okay, so interesting. That's definitely an interesting one for people who may have never worked, or people who worked for a short period of time and then maybe they're at home with children, we're in the family, that kind of thing, that the contributions would have been reduced as well. How many in total do you need to get the full pension?
It's an average, you're catching me now. It's an average of more than 48 weeks of a year, 48 weeks in every year that you worked. It's an average total contributions is the way they do it. And then they divide it down by the number of years you worked. And there's a bit of a calculation to be done. So
yeah.
I'm not going to answer that question because I'm just going to make a mess of it. When it's sitting in front of you, when you get the contribution statement, it's reasonably easy to work it out how much you're going to be entitled to.
And just remind us, where do we get that again?
Just Google contributions, social PRSI contribution statement, and you should be able to get it.
Owen McGee from How to Be Good with Money, thank you very much. This is Something for the Weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.